Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hey, welcome everyone.
Welcome to Being Here.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Or evening.
Depending where you are.
We've been hearing from folks all over the planet who've been listening to the show. So if you're new to the show, welcome.
Right.
We'd like to let you know.
We finish each other's sentences. We'd like to let you know. We want to talk about listening as a possibility so you can actually hear what we're talking about.
See, don't forget, the name of the show today, aside from being here, is a transformational approach to dieting. And one of the easiest ways to have your life transformed is by listening. Because when you truly, truly listen, it pulls you into the moment, and the moment is where transformation takes place. Now, by listening, Shia and I are not talking about hearing a snippet and then having a whole commentary in your head about what has just been talked about.
We're not talking about listening and doing your email at the same time. We're talking about being here, listening to what we say and what Dr. Larry says, and listening to hear what's being said, rather than to hear, oh, I know this already, or, oh, I don't agree with that, or
in some of your cases, some of you, I know last time we had Dr. Larry on, he had so many good pieces of information, there was a part of me that wanted to take note of it right then, like, oh, I have to remember that piece. But luckily,
this show is going to be archived.
And what Shia and I did was we actually went back, we replayed the show, we paused it so that we could write down.
Ariel's talking about earlier shows, not this show, because we haven't done this show yet. We're doing it right now.
But Dr. Larry was on with us twice. In case you want to go back to the archives, he was with us in June on the 25th. In 2008, and on May 14th, on the 28th, talking about health and well-being and a transformational approach to aging. And some of his ideas were so exciting. As I said, we went back and we listened to them so we could take details down for ourselves. So we've invited Dr. Larry back to be with us to talk today about a transformational approach to dieting because, gosh knows, with Thanksgiving having been just last week, some of us are already looking at, boy, lots of holiday cookies, things are happening. It's time for us to take a look at how we're being in our life and how we're eating. So if we're talking about transformational approach to dieting, we should talk about
three principles. First one is anything you resist persists and grows stronger. And around dieting, it's perfect.
Have you noticed if you're resisting those holiday cookies, the ones with sprinkles?
All you can think about
is holiday cookies with sprinkles.
Right. So that's the first principle. The second principle is when you're thinking about holiday cookies with sprinkles, that's all you could be thinking about in that moment. And the third principle is anything that you allow to be exactly the way it is completes itself.
So, in other words, simply noticing you have this urge without resisting the urge and not acting out the urge can allow it to disappear and you can move on seamlessly with your day without having to indulge in things that you really don't want, you certainly really don't need. The trick is non-judgmental. In other words, being kind to yourself. It's challenging not to be hard on yourself. Particularly, I know a lot of people got activated being around their families, and sometimes the communications got a little jumbled.
Is it activated or reactivated?
Both. Reactivated, for sure. And, you know, as Shia and I were setting up for this call, and we were talking about awareness and the transformational approach to dieting, we were talking about paying attention to what drives you to eat.
Right. Not judge yourself for when you field to eat, but look and see what happened in your environment that may have driven you or pushed you in that direction.
I have a really fun chapter about that very subject in our book, Being Here, called I'm Hungry, where I discovered that I was driven to eat by outside impulses having nothing to do with actually wanting more food, but more with being interested in escaping when it got scary at the scary parts on television. So it's fun that I've discovered myself and my inner workings and what drives me to eat so that I don't have to get up and chow down when I really am not hungry at all. So shall we introduce you,
yes,
Mr. Larry?
Hey, yes.
Let's tell you a little bit about him in case you didn't hear the earlier shows with him or in case you haven't remembered for a while. He is a board-certified internist and pulmonologist practicing in pulmonary and critical care medicine in San Diego. And in 2008, Dr. Larry became a diplomat in the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, where he learned about using diet, exercise, stress reduction, among other tools to improve the quality of life. And we have invited him back here today to share his very important information with you. So please join us in welcoming Dr. Larry.
Thank you very much. So great to be here.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank you.
We're talking, I'm sure you've been hearing, about the transformational approach to dieting. And where would you like to start on this very large and significant topic for many people?
Well, you know, I think the first thing I want to talk about is diets. And the reason why is diets generally do not work. We tend to yo-yo up and down with our diets. And at the end of a course of whatever diet you choose, we're usually right back at the weight that we started with. And the problem is that losing weight, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is a very complex process in the body. And there's many different things that affect your ability to lose weight. And one thing that we talked about on one of the earlier shows was stress. And stress, if you're stressed out in your life, you cannot lose weight. Why is that? Well, of all the hormones in the body, the only one that increases with age is cortisol. And when you're under increased stress, you release even more cortisol. And cortisol has an effect on the insulin in your body to make it less effective. So what does cortisol mean to us as human beings when we're under stress? Well, and if you go back 10,000 years, if you were stressed out, what your body does is everything that you eat is converted to storage, is converted to fat. So if you're stressed out in your life and if you're dieting, you're not going to lose weight because everything you put in your mouth will go into the form of fat and storage in your body.
I love that.
Great. That is so great. I mean, not that it's great, but that when you say that, that makes so many things more understandable.
It's such a perfect piece of information, Larry, because so many people are thinking, gosh, what's my problem? I'm doing everything, quote, right, and I'm still gaining the weight. And people forget to take a look at the stressors in their lives or how they're operating that stresses them.
And, you know, worry and fear of the future is one of those things that stresses people terribly. And if they can discover how to live in the moment, then most of that stress is reduced dramatically.
Absolutely. Unless you can balance your hormones, all your hormones, you're not going to lose weight. And, you know, there's things that you need to go to a physician for to be checked out for, but there's things that you could take control of in your own life. And the big thing is reducing your stress by living in the moment, meditation, yoga, tai chi. You don't think about this as a weight reduction technique, but it absolutely is.
That's great.
You know, I really have seen it myself when there have been times where I've added the pounds and I've wanted to move back in the direction of being healthy. And there have been times when in my past cycle of dieting, when the weight seemed to be stubborn. And it almost as if when I took my attention away from it and said, fine, I'm just the way I am, and I didn't stress over it anymore, it was like, boom, I lost weight. And that works two ways. It's not only what you resist persists and sticks around your middle, but when you say that just the very thought of trying to reduce weight can cause stress in and of itself, which can actually support you in keeping it on, it makes sense to me.
And a lot of people have memories of weight loss programs that they've tried in the past that didn't work very well for them. So they're already coming in with the stress of, will this work anyway?
You know, the second concept that I'd like to talk about is the diet that we choose.
Okay.
There's, you know, you hear about low-fat diets, low-carbohydrate diets, and really losing weight comes down to not a diet but a lifestyle and choices of which food that we choose to eat. And the key is to know what are the right foods to eat. And what I'd like to discuss now is something called the Paleolithic diet, which is basically the diet of the hunter-gatherers that we're genetically wired for, that our ancestors 10,000 years ago were eating. And, I propose that if we could follow such a diet, which is a healthy diet, you reduce your risk of disease, you lower your risk for diabetes, and more importantly, you will lose weight. And you won't do this by having to starve yourself. It's eating regularly, but choosing the right foods.
So what would that be?
A Paleolithic diet really is a balance of your protein, your fat, and your carbohydrate. Yeah, you need to have all different food groups. But it's more of a high-protein diet where you're eating 40% of your intake is in protein. 25% comes in fat, and 35% comes of carbohydrate. And the key here is your choices of your sources of fat. It should come in the form of lean meats, so you reduce your saturated fats down to 30%. You should be avoiding the use of dairy products in excess, 30% of your fat should come in the form of what's called monounsaturated fats. And we get that from eating nuts, avocados, choosing oils to cook with, such as olive oil, canola oil, or grapeseed oil.
Right.
And then 30% of the fat should come in the form of omega-3 fatty acids that we can get from fish and flaxseed oil. And I know this sounds like a lot to remember, but if you can balance the fat that you bring in your diet, you don't have to worry about being on a low-fat diet. A fat actually is not a bad thing. In fact, all our brain cells, our cells in our body, are made up of the different forms of fat.
So you're saying that fat in itself is not bad. There are just certain sources that are not helpful and others are.
Absolutely. We want to avoid the saturated fats. We want to be eating less fatty meats. We want to be doing less whole milk, less dairy products, and we want to be eating more of the lean meats, more nuts, avocados, and things of that sort, more fish.
Right.
Then the second thing is carbohydrate. Everybody talks about a low-carbohydrate diet. Carbs by themselves are not a bad thing, but it's, you know, how do you get your carbs in your body? And there's things. There's a concept called glycemic index, and glycemic index correlates with glucose. If you have table sugar and you measure the glycemic index of that food, it would be 100. However, if you have a carbohydrate like a vegetable, the glycemic index of your typical vegetable may be 30 or 40. So the key is when you choose your carbohydrates, you want to choose carbohydrates that have a low glycemic index.
Right. So, that, in other words, they're not a pure sugar. They're more of a complex carbohydrate, so your body uses it better.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Larry, is it mainly because your body stores a low glycemic reacting or glycolic, like a vegetable, differently? Or, and as a result, do you find that people, when they eat say, something that's straight sugar with 100% index, that it makes them hungry for more sweets, or is it mainly that it's stored differently?
It's stored differently. When you have a high glycemic food, a starch or a sugar, it's a signal to your body to release insulin, which causes you to store the food as fat, and the insulin by itself will also cause you to be hungrier and to eat more, and you have increased your risk for diabetes. If you take a carbohydrate, let's say a whole grain or a vegetable, which has a lower glycemic index, you don't flip that trigger to start storing those calories in the form of fat in your midsection.
Right.
Fat in the midsection. None of us needs fat in the midsection.
So to what you want to do is basically avoid excessive dairy products, sugars, processed oils, peanuts, you know, white bread, any sodas that have this fructose concentrate, which again is a high glycemic food and will increase your risk for diabetes and weight gain.
So why peanuts?
Peanuts or the legume family also is basically a high glycemic index food.
I didn't realize that, because a lot of shows recently have been saying have a spoon of peanut butter and it's good for you.
Well, you know, nuts are good for you, but you want you know, whole roasted nuts,
pecans, walnuts,
excellent source for energy and for calories. Basically, you want to be eating as for carbohydrate, low glycemic index, you want to be eating plant foods. You know, the vegetables, all plant foods, fruits, nuts, whole grains.
Things like oatmeal?
Oatmeal is absolutely phenomenal. You know, they've done studies on children that they've given them oatmeal for breakfast, and they perform. They measure their performance during the day, and they actually perform better with an oatmeal as a source for energy as their first meal of the day. Absolutely. Your whole grains are a wonderful source for energy, your carbohydrates, for sure.
I have to tell you that oatmeal has become one of our most...
staples.
Yeah, it's a favorite food. We eat it...
sometimes for dinner.
Well...
it depends on how pressed we are.
We get dried cherries, which are really great antioxidants. We buy fresh blueberries, and when we can't get them, we get frozen blueberries. We mix them in. We add our nuts.
Pecans.
And it's like this all-around food.
Gourmet delight.
And if we actually make a little bit extra, we even put it in the fridge and have it for a snack. I don't know why or how we got onto this as a thing, but it really, probably when we started looking at lowering Shia's cholesterol, but it's turned out to be one of my favorite foods.
Well, it's an absolutely healthy way to go. And in fact, instead of snacking on any of processed foods, which, by the way, will have a high glycemic index, by eating your fruits, your berries and nuts and taking them with you for your snack, not only is it nutritious, but again, it's a low glycemic index food. It's not going to trigger your desire to eat more food. It's going to fill you up, and it will be good for you. So that's all part of this Paleolithic diet, because this is the way our ancestors ate. You know, they didn't have a bag of Twinkies. They didn't have potato chips. You know, they were eating the nuts, the berries.
I feel sorry for them. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we go to the grocery store, and obviously this country of ours is, by and large, quite a bit overweight, and when I look and see what people have in their carts or what they're putting on the checkout counters, it often shows me immediately
why they have the weight they have.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, in this country, obesity in 1971, about 14.5% of the population was obese. In 2000, it's now 31% of the population has
That's
a
shocking.
Problem with obesity.
That is truly shocking.
And no telling what happened in the last 8 years.
You know, in African American and Hispanic children, in the year 2001, 33% of that population is overweight and obese.
Wow.
And the problem...
It has to do with diet, yes?
It has to do with diet and the way that we're feeding our children. And, you know, we are the example. And generally, we're eating too much processed foods. We're eating too high glycemic index foods, such as like white bread, when they should be really eating a whole grain bread.
Well, you know, when I said diet, I don't mean diet as in lose weight diet. I mean the food that people consume.
Exactly. When
yes.
we're talking about diet, we're not talking about restricting the calories that you eat, you know, to like 1,000 a day where you feel uncomfortable. We're talking about eating on a regular basis with foods that are nutritious, have a low in saturated fats, low in the high glycemic index foods, are all the tricks that you can use to lose weight today. And if you combine that, with, you know, your exercise program avoiding, you know, the temptation of foods that we get addicted to, you know, such as the cheeses and the chocolate, and the gluten foods, we can go to a long way to hitting the desired weight that you want to achieve.
Well, before we get into more things about the gluten foods and the cheeses and whatnot, I want to talk slightly differently, not really a lot differently, but we may have mentioned this in an earlier show, but our friend Amy, who used the Weight Watcher program to lose
about 40 pounds.
And she lost it easily without stress. It was so much fun to watch. She is a size 2 now, 2 to 4, which is really her body's perfect size, as opposed to she was really getting so that there was no waist, so that when she walked, she wasn't walking direct. Her legs were having to wrap to the outside because the thighs were too large to, it inhibited just straightforward motion. And we looked at her one day, and Shia said to her, Amy, you're starting to resemble your sisters, who are quite morbidly obese, and you better do something about it because you're heading in the wrong direction. And she looked at him, and she said, you're right, I'll handle it. And she found something that worked for her. She explained it to us, and while we weren't really overweight, on my 50th birthday, I weighed 129. And today, in general, you know, 6 months later or 7 months later, I am in the 120 range. It's a very comfortable weight for me, and it wasn't effortful. It was about paying attention to what I put in my mouth and how often I put things, you know, how often I was eating and portion size. And it wasn't about being hard on myself. And Shia's lost quite a bit of weight as well. What it's taken is for us to be honest, the impact of that food we're eating is on our body and the glycemic index. Is that's the correct word, right?
That's the correct word. And all your listeners can get this information on the internet. Just punch in glycemic index. It'll give you a whole list of foods that have low glycemic index, would be great to eat. You could also just punch in Paleolithic diet, and it'll give you the breakdowns of how you want to consume your fat, your carbohydrate. And this is something your listeners, they don't have to go to a doctor. They don't have to read any book. Just educate themselves, and they will lose weight and live healthier.
You know, one of the when you said something about foods that gluten foods, that's something that China have been starting to pay attention to recently, and we actually found that that was something that really supported us. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a disease called celiac sprue, where patients have a gluten sensitivity, and the full spectrum is these patients get anemic, they lose weight, they have chronic abdominal pain and bloating, and it's actually a difficult diagnosis to establish, often requiring a small bowel biopsy. However, there's all different grades of that, which we're finding, and that patients may not have the full disease, but they have a gluten sensitivity where they cannot eat wheats and products. And they also tend to have trouble losing weight, problems with memory, fatigue and abdominal bloating. If you go to the doctor and say, I'm concerned with the gluten sensitivity, they will tell you, well, don't worry about it. It's a very rare disease. And in actuality, what we're finding is it's a large percentage of the population. And this kind of gets back to the Paleolithic diet, is that the hunter-gatherers, we're not eating a lot of grains.
Right.
And our, you know, our recommended diet is based on grain products. If you're having problems losing weight, it could be a gluten problem. If you're having a lot of abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, it can be a gluten issue.
Is gluten mainly wheat products, Larry?
Yes.
Good.
It's an emergency.
Now, there are gluten-free breads, because I know we go to the freezer section of our ShopRite, and they have
Ezekiel bread.
Ezekiel bread, which is a gluten-free bread, because we've cut out,
mainly gluten foods.
Right.
Now, the problem is, there's gluten added to a lot of products. If you buy ice cream, often there's gluten added to that product as a bulking agent.
Uh-huh.
So it's very hard. It's doable, but it's very hard to go completely gluten-free. But I can give your listeners they don't have to, again, I'm a doctor. We love to see patients. They don't have to go to a doctor to determine whether they have a gluten sensitivity problem.
Larry, we have to take a break now, but when we come back, you'll tell them what to look for, okay?
So on the break, get your pens. You can write it down, or of course you can listen to the archive version.
Yeah, you can listen to this show tomorrow. And
we'll be back again shortly. Come on back and don't miss
being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Megan. Hey, Megan.
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp.
Oh, my God.
Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage, and he almost puked. He says you're the most desperate girl he knows. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone, to Being Here. We're talking with Dr. Larry today about a transformational approach to dieting. And I just want to say hey to all the folks who are flying in and coming into the Freedom to Breathe and Art of Being a Healer in 2 days. We're looking forward to seeing you here in New York, and it's not too late to join us. Next week, we have Monday Night Alive again in New York City, and the International Call, the last one of the year here, is coming up on Tuesday. You can find all the information out about it on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. And next week, just so you know, is about living your life with passion, which is definitely a great stress reducer. And also because in January, the 2nd to the 4th, our weekend workshop is about passion, revitalize your life. And we figured it would be a great way to jumpstart everybody so they get the most from that course. We'll start with passion now. In fact, I think you and your wife are coming in for that, right, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. We're coming in for the New Year's whole week. We're looking forward to a great
time. Oh, that's great.
We are so excited to be seeing you and your wife. That's going to be really fun. So if you want to meet Dr. Larry in person, come on in to Passion, Revitalize Your Life in New York City. So you were going to give people information about gluten-free ways to search it on the internet. Is that what you were up to?
Well, no, I was going to give them a tool that they could use against for themselves to determine not only do they have a gluten problem, but they may have a food allergy problem.
I love it. Tell us.
The most common foods that cause food allergies are wheat because of the gluten, but people are often allergic to dairy products, soy, eggs, barley, beef, chocolate, citrus. And the interesting thing is that when you have a food allergy, a lot of times people crave the food that they're allergic to.
Why is that?
Because it sets off a reaction in the brain where there's an imbalance in your neurotransmitters where you want to have more of that food to get that feeling. And what happens is that you can't lose weight. Because, you're dieting, but there's a certain food that you're reacting to, and you're eating more and more of that food. When you're allergic to a food, you tend to retain water, which is extra weight. And because of changes of balances in your neurotransmitters in your brain, you tend to want to eat that food again and again, which is bad for you. And gluten apps actually could be in a perfect example. So one way to determine if you have a food allergy, there's an expensive way you can go to allergists. They can do blood tests, skin tests. But an easy thing is something called an elimination diet. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but you do it for about a week to 2 weeks. And in this Caucasian population, basically you go on a rice, lamb, and water diet. And basically that's all that you eat for about 7 days. And then
brown rice? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
So rice,
lamb, and water. Okay. And then after you're on this diet for about 7 days, 7 to 10 days, you start introducing foods one at a time back into your diet. But you keep a diary on how you feel. Because, if you have a gluten sensitivity, you'll have muscle aches, joint pains, headaches, problems with your memory. When you add the wheat back, you can see for yourself how does it affect you. If there's no effect on you, you don't have a gluten sensitivity. Then you add back dairy products. And you can actually determine what foods that you're intolerant to, which foods that you are allergic to, and if you have a gluten sensitivity. And you could do this all on your own.
We got an email not too long ago from a fellow who we bought some skin products from. He's a homeopathic guy, and he does some really lovely products. And he developed it after his daughter was severely sick with eczema, and he developed some things that are natural that work really well. And he was talking about taking fish oil supplements, that all of a sudden he had been fine, but once he took fish oil supplements, he found himself focusing better and his mood was lighter, and he stopped taking the fish oil for a week just to see if that was indeed the impact. So it actually worked in reverse for him as well, where he added it, noticed a difference, subtracted it for a week, and then when he added it again, he noticed that it really was that had elevated his mood. And I know you talked about fish oils last time you were on the show, but you might want to talk a little bit about it again for folks.
Well, first of all, you know, when we talk about Paleolithic diet and 30% of your fat intake coming from the omega-3 fatty acids, that basically is what fish oil is. I can tell you from a personal experience, this is kind of funny. I had a patient who was bipolar, schizophrenic, and he was poor insurance, and he had trouble getting a psychiatrist to see him. I had started him actually on fish oil in high doses, more for lowering his cholesterol. And after about 6 months, he told me he had come off of all of his psych meds, but not to put it in his chart because he didn't want to lose his disability. The fish oil absolutely can be used as a supplement for treatment of depression. And I can actually tell you of a study that they did on the prison population where they gave one group fish oil, and then they had a control group, and they looked at the end of 6 months, the group as far as how many of them got into trouble. And the people that were on the fish oil, the prisoners on the fish oil, had less demerits, less problems with conflict. They were calmer.
Since you're talking about stress being one of the great contributors to weight and weight gain, I think that's a really interesting place to start looking, whether or not you're getting enough fish oil, omega-3s.
So I have a question, Larry.
Sure.
And I'm sure it's running through the minds of people who are listening, or at least some people. Given our environment and how many pollutants and heavy metals are going back into the environment, how safe are fish oils if they are contaminated by, say, mercury or other heavy metals, lead or whatever?
Well, that's why it's very important when you go to the your store to choose your fish oils. You want to get a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil. And these are absolutely mercury-free. They usually often get them from a Norwegian population of salmon. And they're tested for mercury and heavy metals.
So it would say on the bottle, pharmaceutical grade?
Absolutely.
That's a really great tip.
That was a good question for me. I mean, I'm
proud
of myself for that one.
you're asking a great question.
Here's the other question that came up during the course of your conversation so far. There are people out there who are vegetarians. And you talk about a Paleolithic diet. Well, there are no vegetarian Paleoliths, as far as I know.
You can substitute many of the food groups with a vegetarian plant-based diet. And you can get your omega-3s from flaxseed oil.
Uh-huh.
There's other sources for your omega-3. Vegetarian diets are very healthy. From my reading, the only amino acid that they lack is something called L-carnitine, and that's something they could buy as a supplement. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with a vegan diet. It's very healthy.
That's great.
Good.
You know, since this is called a transformational approach to dieting, I just want to take a moment to talk about transformation itself. And I know we'll be going to break here in a couple of moments, but it occurred to Shai and I as we were preparing the show today that there is one really important aspect to transformation.
And that is telling the truth.
It starts with honesty, being honest with yourself.
Because if you kid yourself into thinking that you're eating well and then you snack on candy during the day or at night before you go to bed, and slip it in, you know, how you fudge things, you know, to add extra what your mind considers good that may not be so good for your body. It all begins with you looking and telling the truth and being compassionate with yourself and not making yourself wrong for the way you have habitually eaten up until now in the culture of the family you grew up in.
Or in resistance to the culture of the family you grew up in, because lots of us gained weight as soon as we went away to school and mom was no longer feeding us and we were finally going to be our own bosses and do what we wanted. And on that note,
we are going to a break.
We'll be back. We'll talk more with Dr. Larry when we come back. So come on back.
Don't miss
being here.
Right.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications such as heart attack. Why is it important? Because 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from a heart attack or stroke. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk for heart attack. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. Hey, you know what? Today, December 3, it reminds me, invite 3. Share this show with 3 of your friends. It's the game that we're playing this week, the game we're playing this month. So share with your friends. Transformation is the gift that keeps on giving.
So share transformation. Transformationmadeeasy.com is our website.
Well, that's perfect.
And that's how people can get up on this show. All they have to do is go to the Transformation Made Easy. There's a Being Here button. You press that button, and you're listening to our show.
Just a reminder to everybody, we are running that special, the holiday special. Buy any four of our products, our books or audios, and you get the fifth one for no charge. So you can come to our workshops and do that. You can do that online. Our new version of Working on Yourself Doesn't Work from McGraw-Hill is excellent, and it has lots of information. And stay tuned, because very soon, How to Create a Magical Relationship will be coming out from McGraw-Hill as well. And we're very excited about that coming up. So we're back with Larry. And we're talking about, we were talking right before the break, Larry, about telling the truth. Can't tell you how many friends I've noticed get stopped in their, they're losing their weight, and they say, I'm doing everything, but if you pay attention, they're adding portion size, or they're having that snack, or they're binging on certain days, and they're not being really straightforward with themselves about it.
And absolutely, that's kind of what we talked about before, is sometimes this binging is a food allergy, and the food that they should absolutely be avoiding is the one that they're going after. And by trying that elimination diet, you know, your listeners will be able to identify which foods are right and which ones are wrong for them.
But, you know, you say that, Larry, and I believe you. But, you know, given how lazy I am, and given how much I don't like to be told what to do, I'd bet most people out there would really have a hard time limiting their food intake to lamb, rice, and water, even for a week.
It's tough.
I mean, that you know, I can understand the idea, but the idea also, you know, on some levels is, I hate to use the word repulsive, but the monotony of a food a diet like that seems almost punitive.
It seems challenging for a lot of folks.
It would be very challenging for a lot of folks. So for the folks that it might be challenging for, maybe they would be better off going to a doctor and getting tested and find out if they have food allergies.
Well, I also have a suggestion, though, and that is awareness. I know we talk about it every show, this non-judgmental seeing and really taking a look at what you're doing, because something Larry talked about at the top of the show about cortisol, I find when I get tired,
you tend to eat.
I tend to eat. I must be releasing cortisol. It's like my body is saying, hey, you need energy somehow. Do something. Feed yourself. Eat something. Do something to keep going. I have found getting enough sleep to be one of the hugest impacting agents on whether or not I'm able to lose weight and keep weight off.
Now, that's such a good point, because adequate sleep is a form of weight reduction. Because what happens at night when you're sleeping? Well, first of all, you lower your cortisol levels while you're sleeping.
And I love that. That's a good excuse.
Cortisol, again, a lower cortisol level means less storage of fat. So if you're running on 4 hours of sleep and you should be doing six or seven, you're not going to lose weight. The other thing at night while you're sleeping is you have the release of a hormone called growth hormone, which is actually a reparative hormone. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you're not releasing enough of the growth hormone. So absolutely, one way to reduce your weight is to make sure you're getting adequate sleep. And that's somewhere between 6 and 8 hours a night. You reduce your cortisol levels, you're reducing your stress, you're increasing your growth hormone and melatonin level, which, by the way, is also kind of an anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer hormone that your body releases. So sleep is an absolute hallmark of a weight reduction program, adequate sleep.
I have a question for you. Everybody knows exercise is good for you. Everybody knows that exercise is one of those key components to losing weight. But does it have an impact on your cortisol production?
Well, actually, when you exercise, it will increase your cortisol production.
Uh-huh.
So, but the key here is when you exercise, you should not be exercising late in the day after 6 o'clock at night. Your exercise should be in the morning, early afternoon. And you want to be exercising about, well, there's several forms of exercise. We should talk about aerobic exercises. And that you want to be doing 30 minutes 3 to 5 times a week. But it could be as simple as you know, after dinner, going out for a brisk walk with your dog. I know everybody...
If you don't have a dog, can you take your wife along?
Well, you know, I'm a dog person. You know, I'm walking my dog at midnight, as you know.
Well, see if you can walk me, honey.
Okay.
But you can take your wife. You can take your friends. But, you know, 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 3 to 5 times a week would be not only is it good for weight reduction, but exercise also improves your memory. So when you're exercising, you're also exercising your brain. You're preventing Alzheimer's disease, and you're improving your mental sharpness and acuity. The other thing is you know weight training twice a week, but I'm not talking about barbells where you're breaking out a sweat. You just want to maintain a muscle mass, and doing that 20, 30 minutes twice a week is also extremely good for weight reduction.
So something like Pilates would be something that would be good for you.
You know, absolutely. The Pilates, bicycling, and the gym that they do, anything aerobic. And it should be something that that is fun for you to do. And
you know, it's interesting. I've always heard don't exercise at night, but I never knew why. It didn't occur to me that it would increase your
cortisol
levels.
It increases your cortisol level, and then you release epinephrine, and then it's hard to fall asleep because you're now all wired and jazzed, ready to go, and now you want to fall asleep. So I usually tell my patients definitely exercise, but try not to do it after 6-7 o'clock at night.
That's great.
Luckily, there is one form of exercise that can be aerobic that I tend to fall asleep quite well afterwards. Sex, of course.
Sex is good. Sex is always good any time of the day.
Any time of day or night. Okay.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. I didn't want people to say, not tonight. I don't want my cortisol level raised.
I know we're running out of time, and I think the last point I want to make about weight reduction, we talked about cortisol. We talked about Paleolithic diet. We've now talked about exercise and avoiding foods that we may be sensitive to. But the last, low-hanging fruit, so to speak, is fluids. We absolutely must be getting enough fluids during the day, which, number one, actually fill us up so we're less hungry, but also helps us with detoxifying all the poisons and toxins that we're exposed to each day. And everybody should be drinking half their body weight in ounces of fluid a day. And that fluid, in all honesty, should be in the form of water. It should not be from Diet Coke or Coca-Cola.
So you say half your body weight. So I weigh 170 pounds. That means I should have...
how many ounces?
85 ounces?
Exactly.
85 liquid ounces.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Well, you got to start drinking more.
I drink water, but I don't drink water like that much water.
How many sports bottles is that of Poland Spring?
Well, it depends. That is what?
That's 7.7 fluid ounces.
One pint, that's 16, that's 23, that's almost 24 ounces in that bottle. So 24 times, I would need to have like 4 of those a day.
Or 3.5.
Yeah.
I definitely don't drink enough.
Yeah, and there you go. And it's very important for the weight reduction and also cleansing your body of various toxins that we're exposed to. People
well,
are not
great.
Sleeping enough. They're not drinking enough. They're too stressed out, and they're eating the wrong food. So why are we all obese? That's the reason why. That's the reason why.
Well, if we go back again to this idea about being kind to yourself,
yes.
There's being kind to yourself and being kind to yourself. And I find that when I'm being kind to myself, I don't reach for what people consider the, quote, comfort food because I'm already feeling balanced in myself. Larry, we are so happy you were with us again today.
Yeah, really. Thank you so much. It was truly, truly a pleasure having you on our show. And I really feel as though you've made a difference for all of our listeners today.
Thanks so much. And
especially us.
Not to interrupt you, but this is definitely going to be one of those shows we're going to download and listen to again.
And thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this information, because it's going to make us all healthier and lighter.
Great. You know, maybe we'll come back again sometime in the spring, and we'll do it, and we'll ask people, we'll tell people in advance you're coming on. We'll have them call in and let you know what's happened with them after listening to this show and the show that you've done before. So thanks for being here. Thanks, everybody. Come on back next week.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.